Lord, we cannot tell, as we've just sung, the great mystery of who you are, what you came to do for us, and you in glory as we pray. We pray that as we consider your word now and the subject of prayer, that you will still our hearts and speak to our hearts and minds afresh about this whole subject which you considered so very important in your ministry. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Sorry about that, Sue. You're on and off and on and off. The same will happen probably with my trying to get the pictures on the screen. Can I first of all say a big thank you to those of you who have used the prayer diary this week to pray for the Archdeacon of Ipswich interviews, and also as we await the result of the bid to London for substantial funds to enable mission in the town. I can't tell you about either, I'm afraid, but hopefully next week I'll have permission. I'm smiling, so that's probably a giveaway, isn't it? But I'll be able to tell you more next week, but I'm bound to confidentiality of sorts. See me afterwards. No, don't do that. Don't do that. Well, let's move on from this, shall we, very quickly. There are many different forms of prayer, and prayer is the holy habit we're considering this month as we lead up to Christmas. And at the heart of the different forms of prayer is an understanding of and a connection with the character of the God that we worship this morning. Now, as I look around, we probably all have our own preference, personal preference, that is, for the type of prayer that we find helpful, that we enjoy, that we're more warm to. But in the Holy Habits book, it says this, and I'm going to quote from it, and hopefully, it's not going to do it. Rob, could you click for me? Thank you. Even in the places of deepest angst and lament, there is both a reaching out to and an honouring of the faithfulness of God, and that faithfulness being a rock both to rail against and to be supported by. Now, I'm not going to ask you to put your hand up if you've ever railed against God, because probably all our hands would go up, because at some time in our lives we've all done something like that. If you can stick the other, click on that, Rob, something should come up, hopefully, a picture on or some words. Oh, I've done it. We have to pray with our eyes on God, not on the difficulties. That's what I want to aim at as we're thinking about this. The ancient prayers, and many ancient prayers, we used a couple in our home group this week. The ancient prayers in Scripture, in the Bible that we have, give glimpses, just glimpses, of people being open and honest, because that's what God wants us to be in prayer. No holes barred, even questioning his very existence. And our passage today, which Sue read to us, helps us to relocate our lives in God's story of love by seeing Jesus deeply and personally praying and asking of God. And if you can click on the next slide for me, Rob. That is just one of the paintings that people have done of Jesus in Gethsemane. And have that picture in your mind as I carry on, if not the passage, if you've got a Bible open in front of you. I heard this story, probably not true, but I'm going to share it anyway, of a vicar who noticed a little boy kneeling at the side of the church, fervently praying, and was very surprised to hear him saying over and over again, "Tokyo, Tokyo, Tokyo, Tokyo." And after the boy finished, the minister was desperate to know what was going on. He said, "I was very pleased to see you praying so devoutly, but couldn't help overhearing you saying Tokyo, Tokyo over and over again. What on earth was all that about?" Well, the little boy replied, "I've just finished taking my geography test in school, and I've been praying so as hard as I can that God would make Tokyo the capital of France." Now, of course, that's not going to happen, is it? You've probably heard something similar to that before, but I just want to make it very clear at the beginning that even when Devo comes and leads prayers, intercessions for us later on, I hope that we're all strong believers in prayer. One of the most powerful tools that God has left us, and prayer changes things. But I also know that there are times when prayer will not change what's going to happen. And that's, as we look at the Garden of Gethsemane, that's exactly what we see happening. God can do whatever he wants to do. and change whatever he wants to change. But let's face it, unless God really has a good reason to do otherwise, Tokyo will always be the capital of Japan, not France. But the prayer that we see today of Jesus in the garden wasn't going to be answered by his father. So we're left asking these questions. What happens when God doesn't answer my prayers the way I want them answered? Just let that sink in for a moment. Or what do I do when God says no? Maybe you've been there and had that answer. Or maybe even, what good does it do for me to pray if I'm pretty sure those prayers may not change my circumstances all that much? Well, here is Jesus in Gethsemane, and I could have put up pictures of Gethsemane from when I've been there, and Sue knows what it's like, and others who have been there. Jesus praying for God to take a cup from him. What does that cup mean, I wonder? Here is another picture of a painting that somebody's done of Jesus, looking very British, doesn't he? But Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. I always thought I knew the answer to what that cup was. The answer to that question, what is it? This image of the cup wasn't a new idea. And as I explored it a bit further, Isaiah 51:17 says, "Awake, awake, rise up, O Jerusalem, you who have drunk from the hand of the Lord the cup of his wrath, you who have drained to its dregs the goblet that makes men stagger." The cup of his wrath. Or Jeremiah 25:15-16 says much the same thing when it declares, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, said to me. Take from my hand this cup filled with the wine of my wrath, and make all the nations to whom I send you drink it." So the cup that Jesus asked to be spared from drinking was the cup of God's wrath. One of the modern hymns, I can't remember which one it is now that we sing, talks about the wrath of God. Some people don't like to sing that, and they change the words of that hymn. Not that you're allowed to, but they change it. But I think it's there for us to see it's scriptural. And Jesus asked to be spared that cup. The reason Jesus came to earth, the reason he took on the form of a human being, the reason he ministered to the crowds for 3 years or so, was to come to this very point of his existence. Jesus came to die for you and me, to be our substitute, to pay the price for sins. And it's important we focus on that, not to wallow in it, but to focus on why he came. Jesus came to drink the cup of God's wrath so that we would not have to taste it for ourselves. That's why the cross is so important to Christians. And now, in this story we've heard briefly this morning, just hour before the deed is about to be done, Jesus prays, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me." And as I was thinking about it, and as you just ponder it in your hearts as you listen to me, did Jesus think that his prayer would change his destiny? Did Jesus really believe that there was some other way to get the job done? What was in his mind in agony in Gethsemane? Well, I don't think Jesus knew that his destiny would change, but he had in his humanness to ask that question. So why pray the prayer if he knew the Father was going to deny his request? If he knew that his Father was going to say no? If he knew his prayer wasn't going to change his destiny the next day in agony on that piece of wood? Why pray the prayer? Well, I hasten to say, and I hope I'm right here, because prayer isn't always about changing our circumstances and fixing our problems. As one commentator has said, as you can read it there, sometimes prayer is about laying hold of God. And that's what I want us to remember this morning. Why pray? Well, the easiest answer is that sometimes prayer indeed does change our circumstances. But there are times when prayer has a different kind of purpose. And I hope I'm right. I believe I'm right in this. A purpose that stands strong in the face of circumstances that may not change. And this purpose of prayer is best summed up by this following poem. Sometimes God stills the storms of the sea. At other times, he stills the storms within me. And that's the poem. That's very short and brief, but I hope you get the drift of what I'm trying to say. That night in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus felt a need for that kind of calmness. Hebrews chapter 5 says this: he offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death. If we had witnessed that struggle in Gethsemane that night, we might well have asked, what will he do when he faces real crisis? And yet when the time came for the test that Jesus knew was coming, he walked to the cross with immense courage. And as I was thinking about this, a very important story of the whole of Holy Week, I was thinking, what actually made the difference? Well, I think it was that time of prayer in Gethsemane that gave our Lord the strength to face what he knew was coming. It gave him strength, it gave him courage and power to face the pain, the humiliation and the horrors of the cross that loomed oh so large for him the night before. And as I was thinking about this, I think that's the kind of prayer that we need, we need to learn how to pray. It's a type of prayer that can give us the ability to face the hard tests of life. And we all face them. And there are two elements, I think, to that prayer that can give us the strength, the help to give us the strength and the courage that our Lord had, that we need in the difficult times of our lives. And the first one is Jesus' honesty. Just two things for us to hold on to. Jesus' honesty there as he threw himself to the ground, as his friends fell asleep. When he prayed in that garden, I think you could say Jesus was brutally honest as a human being and as his Father's son. There were no religious platitudes, no sugarcoating at all to what he knew was about to occur. Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. I guess if I'd been in that situation, or in a situation that we all face in life, we pray that, don't we? Jesus knew what was about to happen. He knew what had to be done. But he still prayed, essentially, I don't know if I really want to do this. Now, some maybe think they're going to offend God by being too honest with him. Believe me, folks, none of us can offend God that way. He's big enough to take it all. Offend him by being honest and telling him our fears and their disappointments. And in order to be useful as a prayer tool that God gives us, he gives us the strength to be honest. And that honesty must be coupled with the second half, I think, of Jesus' prayer. Not my will, but yours be done, in verse 42. Quite a sobering subject, this, to be talking about as we've sung Joy to the World. But as our journey of prayer continues, I had to face this and share it with you. You see, Jesus' prayer in that garden was a prayer that, and I can't think of any way to put it, that pressed into his Father. His prayer had power to give him strength because it hinged on accepting the Father's will. The prayers can transform our times of weakness into times of strength. Those prayers are the ones that are less concerned with moving God to our will as they are in moving us, dare I say, towards God's. That's the crunch. Less concerned about moving God to our will as they are in moving towards God, moving us towards God. Why on earth have I put that on the screen? Well, Billy Graham, who we've heard quoted once this morning, once wrote this. I watched the deckhands on the great liner United States as they docked that ship in New York Harbor. First, they threw out a rope to the men on the dock. Then, inside the boat, the great motors went to work and pulled on the great cable. But, oddly enough, the pier wasn't pulled out to the ship, but the ship was pulled snugly up to the pier. He continues, prayer is the rope that pulls God and us together. But it doesn't pull God down to us, it pulls us to God. And he concludes, we must learn to say with Jesus, the master of the art of praying, not my will, but thine be done. We're to be less concerned, I hope you get it, with moving God to our will as moving ours to God. We need to realize that Jesus' prayer in Gethsemane wasn't a prayer of hopelessness. It wasn't a prayer of defeat, but a prayer of surrender to his heavenly Father's will. And in that surrender, Jesus found the strength to overcome. And I had to put these two images on the screen, two paintings that people have done of God just comforting and encouraging his Son. It was when Jesus prayed that prayer that the Father reached down and comforted him, his beloved Son. We read, an angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. That kind of supernatural strength from God is, folks, available to us. But first, dare I say, we have to be prepared and willing to pray the way that Jesus did. And it's a hard lesson to learn, isn't it? Not my will, but thine be done. I don't know what you're going to face this next week in the new year. There'll be times that probably we'll all have to pray that. And it will be a struggle to pray that, as it was for Jesus. A Sunday school teacher once asked her group of young children if any of them could quote the entire Psalm 23. A little five-year-old girl raised her hand. A little skeptically, the teacher told her to tell them. The little girl hesitated for a moment and then said, "The Lord is my shepherd. That's all I want." And as you think about Jesus' prayer in the garden, that's really what he was praying. The Father is my God. That is all I want as I face all that I know lays ahead. Honesty and humility in prayer. The two things that stand out to me from Jesus' agony in the garden. And it's something I think we can all learn to take into our walk, which is sometimes high, sometimes low, a walk of discipleship with our Lord. Just like the Lord himself in the garden, who is the good shepherd for us today, let's exhibit the trust and the courage and the faith that he had in Gethsemane, as he too, as he longs for us to do, find the strength to face those difficult times. Let's be like that ship and be pulled in to the pier as we seek to follow our Lord and his leading day by day. As we sit, let's just be still for a moment and think about our Lord in Gethsemane and all that he has done for us. Sometimes God stills the storms of the sea. At other times, he stills the storms within me. Father, that is such a hard lesson to learn. And we see in the garden the lesson that your son learnt. Jesus knew, but in his humanness he had to ask. Lord, as we struggle, as we all do with prayer day by day, help us to be honest with you and in the end to recognize that we want your will to be done and not ours, as did our Lord and Saviour who went to the cross and who rose again that first Easter day. And we give you thanks and praise for his courage and his determination and the example he sets us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. And as we remain seated and in an attitude of prayer before we sing our next song, I'm going to ask you to respond in bold type to the words that are on the screen. As we think about our servant King, the one who came to this earth for us, as we'll celebrate in just a few short weeks, the one who died for us and set us this example. And so as we think of Jesus' example in Gethsemane, we approach the throne of the servant King, who kneels and washes his disciples' feet. Lord Jesus, wash us clean. Make us alive in you. When we're tempted to turn away from suffering and choose the easy path, Lord Jesus, wash us clean. Make us alive in you. When we, if we're honest, feel tempted to seek personal recognition and status above others, Lord Jesus, wash us clean. Make us alive in you. When we feel tempted to pursue our own interests but disregard the needs of the underprivileged and those who are exploited, Lord Jesus, wash us clean. Make us alive in you. And when we feel tempted to strive for power and forget our calling to serve others in your name, being a servant as you were, Lord Jesus, wash us clean. Make us alive in you. As you have washed our feet, setting us an example to follow, may we do for others what you have done for us, for the sake of your kingdom.